we have to treat religious citizens like we treat all citizens. That is, supposing you have a, say, a member of Congress who is, let's say, schooled in medicine, let's say a physician, we don't say, for example, that he or she should simply vote and engage the public square by excluding from their minds everything they learned in medical school. Or let's say somebody who grew up in poverty, who grew up, let's say, in a minority community, we don't tell them, oh, exclude from your personal identity all your experiences growing up poor and growing up in a minority community. We actually say that those types of experiences and beliefs that one acquires can actually contribute to a better understanding. And I think that's true of the religious citizen. We have all sorts of background beliefs that we acquire as a result of our upbringing, our own study, and those can have a profound and important effect upon the public square. Think, for example, of the number of works of mercy that have arisen in American history as a result of religious belief. Think of the abolitionist movement or the work of those in the civil rights movement. Those kinds of movements arise from deeply held theological beliefs. Now, of course, one could say, well, people who hold religious beliefs have done bad things. Well, that's also true of people who've held all sorts of other beliefs. Think, for example, of the atheistic government of the Soviet Union, in which millions were put in gulags and were harmed and tortured in the name of instituting secular government. I don't think that that's what Ronald Reagan believes in. So I think in order to live in a liberal democracy in which we respect the dignity of our fellow citizens, we have to allow people to be able to influence and shape public policy based on what they've learned and what they think is true.